بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. السيدة شعار عارف بالله حضرت أختت حضرت معنا شاه حكيم محمد أختر صاحب نور الله مرقده التايتل إيز آه جو دل تيري غم كحامل مهي حامل مهي تو جہاں کا مزہ اس کو حاصل نہیں اور جو دیتے غم کا حامل نہیں دو جہاں کا مزہ اس کو حاصل نہیں اور جو دیتے غم کا حامل نہیں آپ چاہیے ہم یہ کرم آپ کا آپ چاہیے ہم یہ کرم آپ کا ورنہ ہم چاہنے کے تو قابل نہیں ورنہ ہم چاہنے کے تو قابل نہیں دو جہاں کا مزہ اس کو حاصل نہیں آہ جو دل تیرے غم کا حامل نہیں صحبتی اہی دل جس میں پانی نہ ہو صحبتی اہی دل جس میں پانی نہ ہو اس کا غم غم نہیں اس کا دل دل نہیں اس کا غم غم نہیں اس کا دل دل نہیں تو جہاں کا مزہ اس کو حاصل نہیں آہ جو دل تیرے غم کا حامل نہیں جس جگہ آپ کا پرنگ ملتا نہ ہو جس جگہ آپ کا پرنگ ملتا نہ ہو ہو کے منزل دیو میں منزل نہیں ہو کے منزل دیو میری منزل نہیں دو جہاں کا مزہ اس کو حاصل نہیں آہ جو دل تیرے غم کا حامل نہیں غیر حق کی لگاتا ہے جو اپنا دل غیر حق سے لگاتا ہے جو اپنا دل تیری الفت کے غم کا حامل نہیں تیری الفت کے غم کا حامل نہیں تو جہاں کا مزہ اس کو حاصل نہیں آہ جو دل تیرے غم کا حامل نہیں آپ کا ہوں بس اور کسی کا نہیں آپ کا ہوں بس اور کسی کا نہیں کوئی لیلا نہیں کوئی محامل نہیں کوئی لیلا نہیں کوئی محامل نہیں تو جہاں کا مزہ اس کو حاصل نہیں آہ جو دل تیرے غم منك حامل نہیں کہ ذرا یہ آنکھوں جب زبان گر جہن کہ ذرا یہ آنکھوں جب زبان گر جہن بحر الفت کا کوئی بھی ساحل نہیں بحر الفت کا کوئی بھی ساحل نہیں تو جہاں کا مزا اس کو حاصل نہیں آن جو تیرے علم کا حامل نہیں.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد, this beautiful bayan of our Dada Sheikh Arif Billah Rumi Waqt Tabligh Zamana Hazrat Shah Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahib Nawwar Allah Murkadu. Hazrat has presented it in beautiful poetic form, and Hazrat is giving us a very very important lesson that a person should realize why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us life, and how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made us, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted us this heart, the heart that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted, that heart should be given to the great being who has given us a heart. Otherwise Hazrat explains us here so beautifully, jo dil tere gham ka hamil nahi. Those people who have got heart, and they see that we are attaching our heart to everything else besides the creator of the heart, Allah Rabbul Izzat, who knows the value of our heart, then they take a deep sigh and they say, how sad it is that that person doesn't have that gham, that worry and that concern that Allah Rabbul Izzat must be happy with me. And this is called the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In other words, that person who doesn't make an effort to feel the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in his heart, then that person doesn't really have a heart. As Allah Rabbul Izzat mentioned, لَهُمْ قُلُوبُ لَا يَفْقَهُونَ بِهَا. They have got heart, but they don't even know how to use their heart. They are filling their hearts with the love of this dunya, either it's sports, either it's business, either it's cars, and bad if it's even illicit, haram, love affairs, etc. Then what can be said of that person? He's got his moving around, but he doesn't have a heart. He doesn't know the value of the heart Allah Ta'ala has given him. And then that person is living in a fool's paradise, that he thinks he is enjoying life, but in reality he doesn't know what is the enjoyment of life. Hazrat teaches us here that whatever every person wants enjoyment of life, but where we are looking for, sadly, it is not there. Ye Hazrat mentions, do jahan ka maza usko hasil nahi, aaj jo dil tere gham ka hamil nahi. That person won't get an inkling, he won't know the reality of the enjoyment of both the worlds. In this world also he'll have a miserable life, as Allah Rabbul Izzat mentions, وَمَنْ عَرَضًا ذِكْرِ فَإِنَّ لَهُ مَعِيشَةً ضَنْكَ. A person who turns a deaf ear, a blind eye, doesn't take heed of the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this is the sign of love. الْمَرْءُ لِمَنْ يُحِبُّ مُطِيعٌ. Who you love, nobody has to tell you, follow that person. Automatically you imitate and you will follow that person. So if we got the love of Allah Rabbul Izzat, automatically to get up a fajr is not easy, it's enjoyable. A person is up before that. And if a person doesn't have this, then Hazrat says that that heart who doesn't have the love of Allah Rabbul Izzat in that heart, and the mashayikh have turned the love of Allah as the gham, the worry. And every moment a person is worried that for a moment I mustn't break the command of Allah Rabbul Izzat. And together with that a person tries his best, but he realizes I'm weak, and he engages in tawbah and istighfar. Then that person will know and get an idea what is enjoyment of life. Otherwise Hazrat says, this world you won't get enjoyment, and said, خَسِرَ الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ.
your death life also you will go to depression and you will have a tropical condition, and then what can be said in the year after if a person doesn't get refused to make tawbah istighfar. And when a person gets an idea of the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah ta'ala brings us to these majalis, and the object and purpose is to learn that love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When a person gets an idea of this, then he realize, aap chahe hame ye karam aapka, warna hum chahne ke to qabil hi nahi. That Allah, you have chosen me, and you have loved me in the sense that you have brought me to these honorable places. And these are the real places of enjoyment, where a person will love, will understand and realize what is enjoyment of life. When a person will realize that where I deserve to be in the court of Allah, to be in the house of Allah, me with all my faulty ways, ideas and actions and thoughts, yet Allah Ta'ala has chosen me, this is only the special favor and mercy of Allah. So a person makes shukr to Allah, that Allah, you brought me in your house, you brought me in the majalis of your friends, in this honorable majlis, oh Allah, grant me the full share of it. And how will a person get this? Sohbati ahle dil jisne paai na ho, uska gham gham nahi, uska dil dil nahi. That a person cannot tread the path of the love of Allah Ta'ala on his own. You need what is called sohbat, the company of those people who got heart. Yeah, we all will think that we all got heart, but clearly as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, wa ibadur rahman, that there are certain special servants who are called the servants of Rahman, the servants of Allah Rabbul Izzat. Everybody is Allah's servant, but Allah Ta'ala says those who have realized and appreciated the mercy of Allah, that Allah out of His kindness and mercy has created us. So shouldn't we be the obedient slaves of Allah? They are the true slaves of Allah. They have given their hearts to Allah. So they are called the people of heart. So if you sit in their company, in which lies that love, the burning flame of the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then your heart will also be enlightened. Otherwise, Hazrat says, if you don't take it as important, where Allah has commanded that, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu taqullah wa kunu ma'as sadiqeen. That, O people of Iman, if you really want the love of Allah, which is termed taqwa also, that connection with Allah Rabbul Izzat, then be amongst the true righteous servants of Allah. And if you don't regard this as important, then you don't really have any pain in your heart. And you don't really have a heart. You are just passing your life. And Allah did not send us here just to pass our life. Zindagi guzarna nahi, zindagi banana hai. We have to make our life. And our life can only be made when we learn to feel the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in our heart. And when a person realizes this by coming in the majlis of the Ahlullah and sitting in this company, then a person will see, now your direction will be totally correct. So much so that Hazrat says, jis jada aapka qurb milta na ho, ho ke manzil bhi ho, wo meri manzil nahi. That any place, any gathering, even if it looks like, even if it is a dini gathering, but I don't get that feeling of your love, I don't hear about your ishq, your love in that gathering, then it might be a station to go towards you, but that is not my station. My station is where I learn about your love, and where I feel your company and I feel your love, that is the station I want to be. In other words, all the time the company of the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when a person starts getting an idea of the enjoyment of the company of the friends of Allah, then you see your company also will want to be in that direction. And you won't want to sit with other people who don't talk with regard to the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And further, Hazrat reminds us that worse is such a person, غیر حق سے لگاتا ہے جو اپنا دل تیرے عرفت کے غم کا وہ حامل نہیں. That person who attaches his heart to anything besides Allah Rabbul Izzat. In other words, the enjoyment of this world, which in reality is no enjoyment. When a person attaches his heart to anything besides Allah Rabbul Izzat, then that person doesn't carry at all in his heart the enjoyment of the love of Allah Rabbul Izzat. He doesn't know what is that real pain, and this is not such a pain that causes you difficulty. The pain of the love of Allah is that a person is concerned and worried that Allah must be happy with me. I mustn't do anything that displeases Allah Rabbul Izzat. And a person engages in tawbah, istighfar all the time, and he tries his best to obey the commands of Allah. For thus we need this company of the friends of Allah that will give us the spiritual boost, and a person then learns to make the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And once you start learning to make the zikr of Allah, and you start living a life in the obedience of Allah, then you come to understand what is reality of life. And what is reality of life, Hazrat teaches us here, Aapka hoon main bas aur kisi ka nahi, koi layla nahi, koi mahmil nahi. Now whatever I do, O Allah, it is only for you, that I only want your happiness, I only want your pleasure. And that is the greatest thing a person can be working for. What is one min Allahi akbar? The greatest thing is the pleasure of Allah. Whatever I'm doing, Allah Ta'ala saved me, all of us. Now there is no object and there is no ulterior motive in my life. That I must become known or I must become famous, etc. It is only and solely for the pleasure of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. And this will only come through the sohbat and the company of the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When a person comes with that intention and realizes that Allah gave me my life, I should only be living for Allah. Whatever I should do, and only Allah ta'ala knows the reality of my actions. And Allah is so kind. Allah says, Inna Allah la yudhi'u ajra al-muhsinin. That a person who does the slightest amount of good, Allah won't let it go for waste. Whereas today we complain, nobody appreciates. But Allah Rabbul Izzat is one great quality of Allah, is Ash-Shakur. And Allah doesn't need to be grateful. We have to be grateful to Allah. But this quality of Allah is such that Alladhi yu'ti al-ajr al-jazeel al-amal al-kathir. You do a small action and see how Allah appreciates. Allah gives you a great reward. One subhanallah, you read here on earth, Allah plants a tree for us in Jannah. Allah swells the space between the earth and the sky is what reward. So who should we give our heart to? Only to Allah Rabbul Izzat, with no ulterior motive, no objective. But thus it takes time with the company of the friends of Allah, then the reality of ikhlas, and higher than ikhlas, that raza bil qada, Allah must be happy with me. Then Hazrat is reminding us that keh raha hai ye akhtar babange duhal, behri ulfat ka koi bhi sahil nahi. When you come into this ocean of the love of Allah, you just dip your feet. And then Hazrat is saying, I'm announcing, by what, so to say, knocking the drums with a very, very loud voice, that the whole world should hear and understand that where you are running to any other ocean and drowning yourself in and getting lost in the dunya, come in the ocean of the love of Allah, and then see, this is such an ocean, the moment you enter it, you just want to go deeper and deeper, and then you see there is no shore. After all, Allah Rabbul Izzat is unlimited. The love of Allah Ta'ala is also unlimited. So this is such a disease, that the more you try and treat it by coming to the spiritual doctor, the more it increases. And this is the disease that should be really increased all the time. And this is the disease that we should be worried about, the love of Allah Rabbul Izzat. So Hazrat is teaching us that you realize this reality and work towards it, and then announce it to the world, that Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq. And this is the right direction we should be running, to the company of the friends of Allah, to fill our hearts with the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then a person will get an idea what is enjoyment of life and real life in the akhirat. Then a person will see the value of this majalis. Allah give us tawfiq.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. From the kitab Hayatul Muslimin, the solutions for the problems which the ummah is facing, if we bring these qualities into our life, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will remove us from all our difficulties and problems, and Allah will give victory to Islam and the Muslims in the world. So Hazrat Anwar rahmatullah in this chapter has mentioned that sohbat and company of the pious people is one of the great and effective ways for building up a person's iman, and for spiritually for a person to progress. Then he says that if we do not have the company of the pious and religious people, then we should try to read the kitab, the statements of wisdom and piety of these people. So I will give some examples here of which comes in the Quran Sharif. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, we narrate all the stories of the Anbiya alayhim as-salam to you so that we strengthen your heart. And Hazrat Raiz, this then is one benefit of reading and studying the stories of the pious people. The heart is strengthened and imbued with comfort and contentment. The heart becomes fortified against falsehood, just as the pious people were strong and steadfast against falsehood. As a result of such steadfastness, Allah Ta'ala bestows His aid. In another ayat, Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala declares, we aid our messengers and the people of Iman here in this world, and we will also aid them on the day when these angels bearing testimony will stand. It is evident that the aid on the day of Qiyamah will be only for the obedient ones. They will be the successful ones, while the disobedient will be met with failure. As a result of the stories of the pious people, one gains strength and firmness on the deen, while at the same time it is learnt that these pious ones will attain the loftiest states of the Akhirah. Hence one is encouraged to follow in their footsteps, thereby also gaining the lofty ranks in the year after. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu says, whoever wishes to adopt the path of piety forever should adopt the path of those people who have passed away. There is no absolute certainty that a man who is living will remain firm on the path of piety until the end. The danger always remains of him going astray. Hence the path of piety of a living man could be adopted only as long as he remains on that path. The perpetual path of piety is the path of Sahaba radiallahu anhu of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It is said in a hadith that the character and habits of the Sahaba radiallahu anhu should be established as a standard as far as possible. Some will provide. It is obvious that the adoption of the character and ways of the Sahaba can only be possible if one is aware of the life stories. It is therefore essential to study books on the lives of the illustrious Sahaba radiallahu anhum. Like the Quran and Majid, a hadith similarly narrate the stories of the Anbiya, the Ulama and Awliya, with a view of inducing in people the urge to follow the uprighteous and pious personalities of the past. This purpose is stated in the ayat of the Quran, therefore follow their guidance. فَبِهُدَاهُ مُقْتَدِي, follow their guidance. The ahadith are replete with the stories of pious and accepted personalities. These stories are an effective way of exhorting people toward piety and spiritual progress. It is precisely for this reason that we find awliya Allah always making it a point to compile such books. The following are some books in this regard. Do make a special effort to read these books, or let someone read and explain the books to you. If the services of an alim are available for this purpose, it will be most beneficial. Many of the kitabs are not present there in the Urdu language, but inshallah, some of them, Nashr al-Tib, Qasas al-Anbiya, Futuh al-Sham, Futuh al-Iraq, Hikayat al-Salihin, Tazkirat al-Awliya, Nashat al-Basatin. These are some of the kitab. And in today's time we get Fadail al-Amal, Hayat al-Sahaba. And also here we should be very careful. Sometimes you get books written by people on the Ayaz al-Sahaba radiallahu anhu, but some poison is put in those kitabs. So we should be very careful. There was a famous kitab, Khalid ibn Walid, a kitab written on the life of Hazrat Khalid ibn Walid radiallahu anhu. Such a well written book, in such a way many people were attracted to the book. But in the book, there was so much of poison put there. Just a few places, 10, 15 places in the book, on one line, two lines. But at the end of the book, the person has got some ill feeling, some hatred in his heart towards some Sahaba radiallahu anhu, Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu, or this Sahabi was a drinker. They put a very, very bad word against Sahaba radiallahu anhu. So we should be very careful also with the books we are reading. Always ask the ulama-i kiram, is this book I want to read about the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, is it accepted, can I read this book? And inshallah in this way a person will be protected. Otherwise, even a book on Sahaba radiallahu anhum, if the wrong person writes it, he can take a person astray and misguide a person. A couple of years to understanding.
Alhamdulillahi wa kafa'a wa salamun ala ibadihi alladhina istafa'a. أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الرسول بلغ ما أنزل إليك من ربك وإن لم تفعل فما بلغت رسالته والله يعصمك من الناس صدق الله المولانا العظيم. Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was given this great duty like every other Nabi to balligh ma unzile ilayka min Rabbi, to convey, make tabligh of that which was revealed to him from Allah Ta'ala. So the whole of deen was the duty of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to convey it to the people. And we know very well that Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam, the Anbiya alayhi salatu wa sallam, left no stone unturned in fulfilling this duty. They went day and night, Nuh alayhi salatu wa sallam, whole of Surah Nuh, how I went to the people in the day, at night, individually, collectively, always, how I tried to convince them. So Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam also fulfilled this mission, and at the beginning completely single-handed. And afterwards, mashallah, people accepted Islam in Makkah Mukarramah, but they were few and they were normally weak people. People who were understood to be like weak, and the kuffar, the mushriks of Makkah, took great advantage of this and tortured them very severely also. The tortures which Hazrat Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu went through are quite famous, we all know. Hazrat Ammar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, many other sahaba, and especially those who were like the weak, the slaves, they had to go through all this all the time. At the same time, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was giving his da'wah also all the time. Wherever he got an opportunity, he should explain to the people the truth, the reality, the oneness of Allah Ta'ala, to believe in Allah Ta'ala, the life of the Akhirat, etc. So which is also famous that on one occasion, the Quraysh, the mushriks of Makkah, could not tolerate this. Then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, and this is also an important point, he did not only invite to Islam, but he made it clear that the kufr and shirk is totally wrong. He said, these idols which you make with your own hands, and then you worship them, these idols, if you make them sitting in one position, sitting position, they're sitting. If you put them on the right side, they're just on the right. Put them on the left, they're just on the left. You put food in front of them, they don't eat. The flies eat the food, and they can't do anything about that. Just mentioning about the fly, one important point, one person asked, that sometimes a fly comes and is just flying around you when you're in namaz, or you want to sleep, and the fly is just disturbing you all the time. Or just sometimes you're walking or even driving, a fly got in the car and it's just around you all the time. So he feared that this may be some evil. So when a person becomes weak in iman, then even it's fly frightened for a fly. So this is how, what our condition. And presently, and when a person when he's put in fear also, panic, and this is what the enemies have capitalized on. They put fear in everyone, and all the time they're working on this, that fear this pandemic. This will happen to you, this small thing, that small thing, and people have become frightened. So you can see that if we are not careful, and our iman, we don't watch our iman, then a person will be frightened for a fly also. And really a mu'min, and we see the Sahab, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, here in Makkah Sharif, the mushriks of Makkah, how they should go against Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but he did not fear anything. So we have to always realize that we are believers, and many things are put in front of us today. That, for example, we are the minority in the country, so we must keep that in mind. We must keep the political situation in mind. But the whole world is fighting the pandemic. We must also be fighting it. We must unite with them, unify with them. We have to join them also, and we have to think of the political situation. All this is that fly. And now they have put that fear of that fly in us, and we are fearing that fly now. Whereas we are the reciters of the kalima, la ilaha, and la ilaha, we negate everything else. Whatever else is there, we negate it. Illallah, Allah is there. also in the same strain. Many of us, wittingly, unwittingly, we get caught up in this also. We get frightened for the new world order. What plans they have got. All the conspiracies, what they have got. Lot of things. When we forget Allah is the greatest. And we forget we must make our contact with Allah. The Dajjal fitna is 100%. It's in the hadith. Clear. There is no doubt about it. But what is the Dajjal also in front of Allah? If our contact is with Allah, when the Dajjal will come, those people won't have a problem also. Those who have got their contact. And so, simple things we have been taught. Read Surah Kahf on Fridays at least. Read it every day. And if you're not everything, read in the morning 10 ayats from the beginning. At night read 10 ayats from the end. Or read them both, 10 from the beginning, 10 from the evening. A person is hafiz a Quran, read the whole Surah Kahf every day. So our protection even from Dajjal will be there. But on the other hand, if we don't take all these precautions, we don't realize the strength of our iman, we will be frightened, deep frightened for one ant also. For one fly also. And today how many imaginary fright of jinn, jadu. And the way it has ruined people's lives. And it is just this unnecessary. There is no jinn, jadu where they are. There is. It's a reality. Jinn is there, jadu. But they also, compared to Allah, compared to Ayatul Kursi, compared to the three quls, and all our protection, what is jinn and jadu also? But when we haven't got this, and then this has ruined the lives of people, that they are just all the time frightened for this, and that this one has done this, and immediate family people, and unbelievable, who a person starts thinking, this person made jadu and hatred, and what evil, malicious thoughts about the close family person also, just because of all this fear. So anyway, Allah protect us from this, and that the requirement is to strengthen our iman with Allah, and we made the world our priority, and no thought about akhirat. Whereas we should be thinking of akhirat, what will be my condition when I die? In my qabr, what's my condition going to be? On the day of Qiyamah in front of Allah, what am I going to answer? All those things gets pushed away one side. It's there, we believe in it. And how many of us, we give bayans also, we talk about it. But when we hear all the other things, that takes precedence. And that is now on the top of our mind. And all these things, we forget that we are mu'mineen, we are muslimin, that we have to consider our duties to Allah. Where we are citizens of the country, aren't we the slaves of Allah Ta'ala also? Where we say the government does everything for us, all the infrastructure. Who gave us our birth? Who gave us our eyes? Who is feeding us? Who is giving us everything? Who is in control of our condition? Are the authorities in control? Is my boss in control? Is my wife in control? Or is Allah in control? Allah Ta'ala is in control. So we forget all these realities and we just fall prey. And then this fear, when a person is panic stricken, for example, or if sometimes when you are very, very much in a hurry, basic things we forget also. Like for example, putting off the light, we had to do. Sometimes even locking the door. A person sometimes forget to wear his trouser also. He's just gone with his pyjama, he forgot. He was so much overtaken. So with this panic that they have put in us, we forgot the basic things. We will laugh at these people, but really we are laughable. We have made ourselves those fools and those laughable people that Shaitan is having a very good laugh at us. That what I'm making these people do, all funny, funny things, and they are just thinking, I have to do this. If I don't do this, I'll get covered, I'll die. As if we're not going to die. If we don't get covered, we don't get corona, are we going to live forever? We're not going to die. It's all in the hands of Allah Ta'ala. But this, all these things they have put, and we have forgotten who we are. We are in the minority. We have to be very considerate how we behave, what our reaction, what our actions are. But we have to also consider our reality. And Allah is our Rabb. He is our creator, nourisher, sustainer. He is in control of our condition, to Him we are going to return. We will have to answer to Allah Ta'ala. We are not going to answer to anyone else. When we die, we are going to answer to Allah Ta'ala. So anyway, so these idols, even a fly comes and eats the food, they can't do anything. A mouse, he takes the food away, they can't do anything. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam should tell the people these things. That you are Ibrahim alayhi salam, when he broke all the idols, big court case, very big case, the highest court, they summoned Ibrahim alayhi salam. Who broke this idol? Somebody reported that we heard that Sami'na fatay yadhkuruhum yuqalu lahu Ibrahim, that this person Ibrahim, bring him, arrest him. Let him answer the charges put against him. Who brought this idol? In front of them all, he said, you can see that the chopper is lying around the neck of this big idol. He left one idol. The evidence is clear. So they also understood. He made it clear to them that what you are worshipping this idol, and the kuffar of Makkah should come and say, as we will just now mention, that your Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is calling us fools that we worshipping these idols. So the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam made it clear to them. When Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, you worshipping these idols, they can't benefit, they can't harm you. They also sat down with joined their heads, put their heads together. And he said, yeah, it's true, these idols can't do a thing. But just that thing that was in them, because of sin, when a person's mind also becomes completely, when shaitan urinates on the brain, and he does his excreta in the heart of a person, then that person thinks everything upside down. So Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam also made it clear to them that what are these idols you are worshipping? Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam also told them that these idols, what can they do? So then the mushrikeen of Makkah came to Abu Talib, the uncle of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and they told him that Nabi Abu Talib was a very senior person. He wasn't a Muslim, but he was a senior person and very respectful. And he had given protection to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And it was their system that if anyone who has the status like Abu Talib, there were other people also, if they give protection to somebody, nobody will touch that person. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam had given protection that my nephew, you carry on with your mission, though he didn't accept Islam, but you carry on my protection. Then the kuffar of Makkah could not tolerate this, that he is coming here, he is speaking bad about the idols, he is calling us that we are stupid and we are fools, that we are worshipping. And if we study, the mushrikeen in Makkah also, they had their position in society, and we, the big people, are in society, and he is telling us that we are fools and we are stupid, and these idols are useless things. They couldn't take it. They went to Abu Talib, and they told Abu Talib that your nephew is saying this, that you take away your protection, because we can't take this, otherwise there is going to be a fight, and we will perish or he will perish, and we can't. Abu Talib was a person of that stature, very high position, even mentally very mature, and he diffused the whole situation. Somehow diplomatically he just made it, and Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam still carried on. After some time, again they couldn't take it. Again, that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was still telling them that these idols of yours, worship one Allah, who is the creator of every, the heavens and the earth, the controller of everything, Allah's whose knowledge is so vast and so complete, and Allah's love is also so great, Allah's mercy, Allah's forgiveness also, how Allah forgives. But they just could not. That this love of this kufr and shirk was in their hearts. Because of their wrongdoing, they just couldn't understand it. So after some time they came back to Abu Talib again. And again they told Abu Talib that this nephew of yours, we can't take it now. Now we will, if you're not going to take away, we respect you, we honor you. You have got that position in our community, in our society, in our city, in our country. But now we can't take it. He's, what he's telling about our idols. But Nabi Ali Salaam, then Abu Talib called for Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He told him, my nephew, my beloved nephew, your people, the Quraysh, this is, they came to me and they were the delegation. And this they have put forward to me. And now I have pity on me also. And have pity on yourself also. That they can't take it and there is going to be a big war. And they will kill you. They are all so adamant about it. They are determined about it. So Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam, with tears coming from his eyes, he said, oh my uncle, that this deen which Allah Ta'ala has given me, that if they put the sun in my right hand and the moon in my left hand, that this I will perish, or the deen of Allah will become dominant, but I can't give this up. No. And then he stood up and tears just started flowing from the eyes of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Abu Talib called him, he said, my nephew, you don't worry. My protection is there for you. Carry on, you do your work. Yeah, at this point, this we have heard and we know about it many times. But ulama have written great, great, valuable points here which we have to take. We have to take it in mind and Allah make it that we bring it into our lives. Firstly, that Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam said the sun in his right hand and the moon in his left hand. These are not just things like a saying, but there is so much of meaning in it. That first of all, the ulama explain that the right hand is superior to the left hand by far. Like for example, we walk in the masjid, we walk with the right foot, the right side. When we eat with the right hand, we give with the right hand, we take with the right hand. But when we go to toilet to clean ourselves, then we use the left hand. So how superior is in the right hand to the left hand? So that is one thing we have to understand, that the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told us the sun in my right hand and the moon in my left hand. And perhaps nobody said these words before Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam for any matter. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam chose this sequence. So it shows the things of the right. And also it shows that the right things, how superior they are to the wrong things. The things of which are wrong, which are dirty, which are low, the things which are right, how much more superior are they? Then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told them, if they put the sun in my right hand and the moon in my left hand, and the whole world, as far as asbab and means are concerned, Allah has made it, is dependent on the sun. The sun is the main. The moon was in the left hand, but the sun in the right hand. The moon, the light of the moon also is not its own light. The moon has got no light. It is the light of the sun. And as the days pass of the month, the lunar month, which is our Islamic month also, the lunar month, that when it is the 14th full moon, then that this moon is in such a position in relationship with the sun that the full light of the sun is on the moon. The moon itself has got no light. It's dark. It's dark. And when the moon, now again, as the days, the nights go, and the moon moves away from the light of the sun, then it becomes that when it's completely dark. At the end, the beginning of the month, lunar month, the end of the lunar month, now the sunshine is not on the moon. So now we can't see it. And then, when just that little bit of the crescent, what we call the crescent, that comes now, is that part only is that the sun of the light of the sun is shining on that one tip of the moon. And that is what we look for, and then we get so disunited. And the amount of fights we have about the sighting of the moon and all that. All what it was is that the moon has moved out, and now the direct light of the sun. So this moon hasn't got any light. So the real light is of the sun. The sun, if it has to come 1 degree closer to the world, then the world will it will so much of heat will come, life will be impossible in the world. If it has to go 1 degree further away, the earth will be frozen. There will be no life here. So Allah made the sun, the source, the energy which comes from the sun. The amount, like now we know solar heating, for example, solar lighting, it's all the light which they capture of the sun, the, which the rays are coming. And there are so many other things, the vitamin D which is so vital in a human's body. The sun, all the time, if we just exposed to the sun during that period, then we get that benefit. And we don't know how much are the benefits. And the rotation, the solar system, one is our lunar system, which works with the moon, our calculation. And the solar system, our five times namaz with regard, before sunrise is fajr. When the sun is past its zenith is zohar. Before sunset is asr. After sunset is maghrib. After so long after sunset is isha. So that is connected with the sun. And lot of other things are connected with the sun. So all these benefits are there. Musallam, dunya's benefit. But Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was impressing, this is a very important point, that the sun of hidayat which I have come with, this deen which I have come with, the sun and moon of this dunya can go, it's got no value. The real sun and moon, the real value is of deen. That we have to realize. Today we give so much of preference to this dunya things. When we die, the sun finish, no more the sun. But the sun of deen, Quran, hadith, that is going to be going with us in the qabr. And the suns of amal, of our fajr namaz, all our namazes, all our tilawat, our zikr, one subhanallah is far more superior than all the sunshine and the sun which was rising and setting from the beginning till the end. One subhanallah is more superior. The alif of Allah, that one alif is more superior. And that person who is teaching a child alif zabar a, or he teaches alif ba ta sa, that is much more superior than the sun or shines on the earth and all the things of this world. That is more superior. So what yaqeen Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, I can perish or the deen of Allah will be dominant, but this I cannot give up. This what Allah has sent me, this hidayat of the sun of hidayat, that is the most superior. So Allah make it, it comes in our hearts also, that we, what Allah has given us, for what we come for the majalis. Brothers have come from where? 100 kilometers away, 50 kilometers away, from different places. All brothers left their work, their duty, we come here. The children who have come to study from around the world, they have come. The madaris which are in the world, the azan which is being called out, the, when the imam says, Allahu Akbar, what? When the muazzin says, Allahu Akbar, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah, what value does it got, the sun and the moon and the gold and silver and the diamonds and rubies of the world put together cannot be equal to the alif of the name of Allah. Cannot be equal to one subhanallah. So we can realize what treasure Allah has given us, which Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, I can perish, doesn't matter, but this hidayat which is going to give us our husn khatima inshallah, which is so important, how our mort will come, whether we die of COVID or whether we die of a heart attack or we die in motor car accident or some crime situation, but we're going to die. But if we die with iman, and how we die, what is our condition when mort, when malakul mort will come, what will be our condition at that time, what will, that is what is important. So this is that hidayat, that is. And then how we are worried of being in quarantine here 14 days, isolation, you put yourself in isolation in the qabr. How long is a person going to be in isolation? Depending on this nur of hidayat, what a life that will be in the qabr. And if a person hasn't got that and gave preference to the sun of this dunya, this worldly life, all the things of this dunya, he was worried, then what will be that person's condition for so long? Yeah, 60, 70 years. Perhaps somebody will live till 100. Hardly anyone really lives till 100. But in the qabr, not 100 years, not 1,000 years, not 10,000, we don't know how long it will be. And then the day of Qiyamah, one day, which will be 50,000 years long. Crossing Pul Sirat will take 1,500 years, 1,500 years. So what is this 50, 60 years of life which we saw? That is that what we have to worry. And that yaqeen, what which Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, of course we can't get that yaqeen. Mi'raj Allah granted Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Musa Alayhi Salaam spoke to Allah Ta'ala. Nabi Alayhi Salaatu Wasallam with no veil in between. This is what the ulama agreed upon, that when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went, كَانَ قَابَ قَوْسَيْنِ أَوْ أَدْنَى, and when he went right to the limit where Jibreel alayhi salam couldn't go further, and he saw Allah with what conviction Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam spoke. So we won't have that iman, but let us learn from here, this is that iman which we have to, which we cherish, which we desire, which we work for, and that to that yaqeen. Today we got yaqeen of dunya, university degrees. Hey, my child, we got that. My bank balance I've got yaqeen on. And how many times your bank balance also, you die, your bank balance is left like that. Or somebody, whoever, perhaps the bank itself, they take out all your money also. Today your properties also you can have. There are those countries, you got your property, the next you get a court order that you have to evict this place. That in the deeds office somebody put it on their name. And now the property you staying illegal, your own property which you bought, which you paid for, you registered in your name, you got your title deed. But now in court you are proved that you are not the owner. So what we trusting on this? So that yaqeen of that life. We so worried about this small little thing. We made it a huge thing. The world has made it a huge thing. And the real thing, that we, our attention, what shaitan has done, he deflected our attention from the real thing. And our minds don't go to the real thing. The akhirat is the real. So the truth, what is here, what is yaqeen, what is the truth, that is what we have to see. Always don't, must not let our minds just be overtaken by these other things. And that we also now feel that this dunya's things are very important, and no matter what happens, we have to save ourselves from COVID. If we, otherwise we're going to perish. And only this is the main thing, and all the protocols which they have got, and Allah's protocols we forget. Man-made laws, we're giving them preference over the laws of Allah Ta'ala. And law, obeying commands of man, we are giving preference over the commands of Allah Ta'ala. And really, when we are not even still forced to, Allah protect us all. And voluntarily, on our own, we are giving more preference. And we are doing more than what the authorities also want. So Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq to understand that this yaqeen comes into our hearts. And these false things of this dunya, the moon which hasn't got any light of its own. And so these other things got no light, they are darkness. They don't even get that little bit of the light when the crescent is made. These dark things, and we have put our full yaqeen on those things. And we don't see that where the truth is lying. Just because people speak in a certain way and our minds don't function, and we also overtake it. Yeah, what they are saying is right. We must be very careful. We are the minority here. Political situation is like, now we forgot about akhirat. We forgot about the truth. The truth, where the truth lies. Every person, how Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was prepared to give his life for the truth. Today we also should see that where is the truth. And follow and stand for the truth, and advocate the truth, explain to the people what is the truth, and where the truth is lying, and in which direction we must be going. And life is the most uncertain thing. Anytime you hear somebody has passed away, death is the most certain thing. Allah put it delayed, we don't know when it's going to come, but there's absolutely no doubt in death. Life is the most uncertain thing. Life has got no certainty, but we have given so much preference to this dunya's life, and the fear to die has overtaken us. As a mu'min, that should go out of us. We have to die. May Allah let us understand that what is the truth, and then to stand for the truth. Don't see that who I'm following, who I like and who I don't like, but see what is the truth. And we must give, prepare to give our lives for the truth and stand for the truth and advocate the truth, and let, and the truth is going to help us. Baatil and falsehood, divine laws of Allah are going to help us. Manly things are not going to help us. Man made shaitan, when battle of Badr, he brought, or which battle, he brought all his army also. In Ahzab also he brought his army. And then when he saw the malaika coming, he ran away. So all these man-made things, things besides Allah Ta'ala, they're not going to stand with us. The promises will be made, everything. But who stands with Allah in the truth, that will be with us all the time. May Allah give us all tawfiq, inshallah.